Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to an all-new episode of GVN, I guess, review or breakdown, however you want to call it. Let's go with review. Me and AJ will be breaking down the story of the new Miles Morales game for the brand new PlayStation 5. Neither one of me nor AJ have played it, but we both have watched all of the cutscenes, so this is spoiler. This is definitely going to be a spoiler for anyone out there listening. So if you have not played it, or you have not watched the cutscenes, or you don't want to be spoiled, I'm giving you all this time of me saying this for you to definitely stop it, play it, or watch the cutscenes and come back. If you watch the cutscenes, it's only about like an hour and 50, I believe, AJ, is like an hour and 50 minutes. So, you know, one day you knock it out, come back and listen to this. But again, this is spoiler review of the story of Miles Morales for the PS5 that just came out. All right. I am your host, Juwan. Join with me for what's going to be a potapalooza of a day of podcasts is AJ. What's going on, AJ?
What is going on? Oh, God. I'm excited for Miles Morales. I'm pissed that I cannot play the game right now. I'm so pissed, but the cutscenes are amazing, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Absolutely. So let's jump right into it. I will say I am not jealous. I can't play it. I didn't play the last Spider-Man. I don't have PlayStation. It's not like, oh, I can't get PlayStation. I'm an Xbox guy. And honestly, more recently, I've become a Switch guy, like almost exclusively. I don't even play my Xbox anymore. I just don't have room to get a PlayStation that I'm probably not going to play as much as I play my Switch. So, but who knows? That might change, because I can tell you this right now. If Switch doesn't start coming out with more games and stop giving me shit that I played when I was 3, I'll probably stop paying $60 for games that came out 8 years ago for this goddamn Switch. And maybe I will go PlayStation. But anyway, focus at hand. Let's get right into the beginning of this Miles Morales for the PS5. AJ, this started off really good. This started off with a Miles that obviously was still a little wet behind the ears, very eager, talking with Peter, as Peter was kind of, you know, letting him know it's not easy being Spider-Man. Like, everything you want to jump into is everything that I jumped into and got my ass handed to me about. So it's like, I want to kind of ease you into this. But we see what is one of visually the best fight scenes, I think, in video game history, is the opening, which is Peter and Miles taking on a charged up, souped up Rhino. Walk me through the beginning of this this story, AJ.
Yeah, that beginning scene in Spider-Man Miles Morales was a great way to start it off, especially after the ending of the first Spider-Man game that was on the PS4, just seeing Peter as a mentor to Miles and Miles as a student. I really loved their dynamic. And for me, I think their dynamic in this is amazing. It's a lot different from Spider-Man to Spider-Verse, which is still, for me, the perfect comic book movie in general. So there's to show you can do a Spider-Man story in different ways and it still be amazing. And what you were talking about with the action sequences and Spider-Man Miles Morales, they were great. You can tell that Miles doesn't know what he's doing, and he's just doing everything on top of his head, basically. He's just making things up as he goes. And then you just see Peter helping him out a little bit to see what he can do, just to flex his muscles a little bit and all of that. So the beginning sequence I thought was really good, both story-wise and just pure action.
I will say the biggest thing that the beginning of this taught me was there's really, honestly, like, if Sony was really, really, really smart about this, and we know that Sony tends to not really be that smart, I would capitalize on the hype of Miles by calling Feige and going, look, we're going to use Peter for a little bit, but you guys can have Peter. Obviously, we'll pull him in when we need to. But you guys keep Peter. Our Spider-Man is Miles. We're going to build our universe around Miles. And the reason why I said they should do that instead of trying to blend both Miles and Peter is, A, Peter is still way too young. Way too young. Remember, even if he disappeared for the 5 years, and you know, obviously age 5 years, he didn't really age those 5 years. So he's still the same age, in my opinion. I don't care what they'll try to say about that. But to me, why AJ did that fight with Rhino work so well for Miles? What did they have to do to give Miles that stage? They had to knock the shit out of Peter. Peter was out. He was down for the count. Miles came in, stepped in, and really made a name for himself. That's not what you want to do to a Peter Parker you've spent 5 years building. He's just way too young. Now, if you had brought in Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, by all means, yeah, he's been in the game for a long time. You know, he can take a few licks and you know, it won't really affect him if he has to take that large step back to allow Miles to be the new Spider-Man. But Holland Spider-Man is still way too young.
Well, I think you're forgetting one important detail in that. With the Marvel Cinematic Universe Spider-Man, Peter Parker is how old? He's probably like 18, 19 maybe. He's still in high school.
Right.
This
next movie would be his I'd have to watch Homecoming again, but I would assume this year for this next movie would be his senior year, I assume. Yeah.
So even if Miles was around what, middle school age, he'll still have enough time to be Peter Parker, be Spider-Man for a long time. So they can actually have a time skip, is what we call it in anime terms, a time skip in the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Peter Parker and Miles Morales.
Yeah,
I think there's a good amount of age difference.
I don't want to make it seem like age is what my focus is. My focus is the reason why Miles works so well in the comics and in the movie and in the game is because Peter had to take, well, remember in the comics, Peter was dead, which gave Miles the ultimate driver's seat. But in the movies and in these games, Peter is taking a major step back. Remember, AJ, Miles in this video game was able to really kind of go through it because they took Peter out of the equation completely. Like, he wasn't even in New York. And I'm saying, if you're Sony, don't do all that. It's very, very, very easy to say, like, I'll equate this better for you, AJ. Remember how, you know how everyone's saying how if they do a Green Lantern movie, everyone wants Jon Stewart to be the focus? But how do you have Jon Stewart be the focus of Earth? You put Hal in space, right? So I'm saying the equivalent of that with the Spider-Man is to say Peter Parker is more bigger picture like Avengers. Miles is literally just borough in just New York.
Like, well, that's not true. Because even in the Ultimate Comics, his focus is a lot on Avengers as well.
No. I'm not saying Miles isn't. I'm saying what Sony should do so you're not overlapping. I don't need double Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? I don't need double Spider-Man in the MCU. I'm saying allow Peter to be your more Avengers bigger picture and allow Miles for Sony to be the focus is New York. That's his focus. The borough, New York, taking care of more the smaller level stuff. Obviously, you can give him bigger villains, but let him focus on that. Let Peter be the bigger picture. So Miles, you know, it's not literally like they're overstepping each other. You're allowing Miles to flourish in New York, and Peter's more, all right, whoa, Galactus is coming. Shit, I got to go help with that. I'm not saying Miles can't. I'm just saying the focuses should be different so it allows both characters to expand without kind of running into each other all that often.
Well, the easiest way to do it is, this is a little bit of what you're talking about. If Sony keeps Miles and Marvel, and Sony lets Marvel have Peter Parker, that universe, the Venom and Morbius and Silver Sable and all of them could just be another universe on itself. It can be another dimension or whatever. So Peter Parker on Earth 616, which is the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right.
Yeah. So and then Sony will have a separate spot on Peter Parker, who they won't show because he's dead in that universe, so they don't really have to show him at all. Well, maybe a grave.
The difficulty in what you're saying is Morbius has already established that Holland is the Spider-Man for Morbius's universe. We don't know
what?
Yet.
Wait, say that again.
I said the difficulty in what you're saying is Morbius, the movie, has already established that Tom Holland is their Spider-Man.
No, they never specifically said Tom Holland is the Spider-Man. AJ, and you also see in that
AJ
on the moral, that's not Tom Holland Spider-Man.
No. What I'm connecting here is Vulture was in the Morbius trailer.
Yeah, you can have the same actor in the movie. It's just in a different universe. Peter Parker is the same thing in every single universe. There's different.
Well, how the hell did Vulture get from the MCU to the Sony universe?
I'm saying there's different timelines, but there's the same characters sometimes. So you can have the same Vulture in one timeline. You can have the same Peter in one timeline.
You're reaching on that one.
I'm not. That's literally how they do it in the comics.
I'll tell you this right now. I will pay you $20 if when Morbius comes out, his Spider-Man is not Tom Holland's. No. Legit.
I'm not saying my theory is correct. I'm saying what I think they should do.
AJ is unanimous for me. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm right, but
I never said I was right. I'm just telling you what I think what should happen.
No, but I think they can exist in the same universe. I'm not saying Sony should make a whole nother universe to acquiesce to Miles. Let it be in the same universe. I mean, the MCU has already established that Miles exists. So it's like they can be in the same universe. I'm just saying how like Doctor Strange is more your bigger picture. So like if the Avengers are taking on, I don't know, Doctor Doom, Doctor Strange isn't going to pop up for that shit. Bitch, I don't pop up for that. I let Loki run rampant and I didn't even pop in. I don't give a fuck about that. Let me know when a Thanos level villain comes back and then I'm there for you. So to me, let Peter be.
Well, Stephen Strange wasn't Doctor Strange when Loki was there.
What? He existed while Loki existed. He even told Thor like, hey, I know who your brother is. You gotta take him
back. No, you're missing a whole bunch. Remember in Doctor Strange, he doesn't become Doctor Strange until a little bit after Civil War, and Civil War is way after the first Avengers.
No. You're not understanding me. My point just is Loki was around causing havoc, and the whole idea of whoever the Sorcerer Supreme was didn't involve themselves in that because their interest is more so bigger picture. That's all I'm trying to say. So I'm saying allow Spider-Man's focus to be bigger picture. They could be in the same universe. Share it. Because I can tell you right now, if you're Sony, big box office is that your Miles exists in the same MCU as Holland, and then you blend the two from time to time. I'm just saying the best way for Miles to really stretch his legs is for him to exist in a world where he's not worrying about, like, the viewers shouldn't go, oh man, like, Miles is really getting his ass kicked. Where's Peter? Like,
that's why you should have it in a different universe. Why would you have it in the same universe?
Because if you kill Pete, first of all, A, you've already had your huge divide to where you could have explained where the two worlds merge. That's what the multiverse of madness is probably going to solve. Miles already exists in the MCU. There's no need to go off and make a whole other universe to fit him. He can be in the same universe. So, I mean, it's the thing of Peter's focus is just different. That's what I'm saying. If Peter was in, like, if Peter interacted with Miles and let him know, like, hey, you now look over New York, you know, like, I'm an Avenger now. My focus is on, like, we got to take care of, like, you know, people trying to destroy all of Earth, not just New York. It'll allow Miles to go, all right, I got New York, Peter. You worry about that. So it kind of gives them both two different big jobs to do, quite like a Hal Jordan taking care of space and a John Stewart just taking care of Earth. They can exist in the same universe. It's just giving them two separate things to do, so there's never any overlap. It allows John Stewart to be the best John Stewart he can be, because he doesn't have to worry about, like, oh damn, Hal's back. They're gonna call Hal. They're not gonna call me. You know what I'm saying? So it just gives them the room to stretch their legs. But anyway, we see him take down Rhino with what I believe they're calling a Venom Punch, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were your thoughts on seeing that Venom Punch? I don't think that was in the movie.
It wasn't in the movie? Yeah, it wasn't. The only thing that was new to us. No, actually, it wasn't Venom Punch itself, but he does have, in Into the Spider-Verse, we do see him activate the bioelectricity escaping his the chair that Peter put him in. So he does have that.
You're right. I'm just saying specifically the Venom Punch.
The Venom Punch, then that we haven't.
Right.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I really like how they use his power set within that specific power. I love how in the game they use it for him to suck up energy into his body and just disperse it out. I thought that was pretty cool. Right. I thought that just having like an energy field around him while he's about to charge and all that, I thought that was really cool. So I think the power set is really cool.
I also like how Miles is able to act. You know what Miles reminds me of, AJ? And it's like, it's so dope because me and you come from this world. So it's like really cool to like attribute it to this world. Miles reminds me of anime. Tell me that it doesn't remind you of anime. Anime, every time a character is about to die, they're really nervous or they're really scared, they activate like the strongest abilities ever. And like the fact that in Into the Spider-Verse and then in this, Miles can activate shit just purely based off of fear or anger. Like, emotions is what triggers everything for him, is how he figures out, like, man, I'm really scared they're going to see me. Oh, boom, I just activated. I'm invisible now. You know, like, it's not like one of those things where he got bit and it's like, oh, I know I can go invisible. I just have to kind of, you know, train really hard to control it. It's purely activated based off of, like, emotions, it seems like. So this one was the desperation of, like, damn, I'm the last line of defense. Peter's down. If I get taken out, Rhino's going to wreak havoc all over the city. In that desperation and anger, boom, activates the Venom Punch. So I'm like, that was really cool.
Well,
to
it's
see.
Not
good.
Yeah, it was cool, but it's not really exclusive to anime itself. Like,
look, no, at no, X-Men, not at all. I'm just saying that's X-Men, what's the most common of when we were growing up, where you would see it a lot, is that when they're really sad or they're really angry is when they're activating like all this power. No, it exists everywhere, but I'm just saying, to me and you, I attribute that to anime because that's what we watch a lot of. And that's where you see like a lot of it is in anime. Is emotion is purely driven by these characters.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
So we see them take down, we see Miles take down Rhino. Peter wakes up. I do want to ask you, how do you feel about Peter's new face? I didn't honestly mind it. The only thing that I think bothered me about his new face is that he looks drastically younger. And I don't know if they were looking to make him look younger, but I don't ever really like Miles and Peter to be really around the same age. And they kind of look like they're not that far. Yuri, in the first Spider-Man game, he looks like he's at least, what, mid-20s, early 30s? Mid to late 20s. Miles obviously looks like he's what? What would you say, AJ? 16, 17? AJ, did I lose you?
Probably around like 18.
Around
they're
18.
What? A little bit. They're about to, and Miles Morales, they're about to graduate high school.
Oh, perfect. Did you like the new design look for Peter's face?
I didn't mind it. It didn't really distract me at all. The argument that he looks younger, cool. I don't find that much of an argument. There's a lot of people that are older but still look younger. It's really not much of a argument to have, really. I think the reason why they changed his face is to make it look like the actor who's voice acting. That's the only reason I think they changed his face.
Really? Because Yuri kind of looks like the one that they gave him in the original Spider-Man game. Yuri doesn't look like what this new design looks like. It's supposed to cater more towards looking like Holland.
Tom Holland. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Like. Yeah, it looks like they were trying. It looks literally like Sony's like, look, this is our Spider-Man, and we need this to be our Spider-Man everywhere. I don't have any issue with it. It was weird that like they just made that decision out of nowhere. Like, well, we're gonna change how he looks. I'm not really rocking with this original look. We're gonna change it. It was like, that was weird, but okay. Anyway, so we move on. Rhino's taken down by Miles. Peter comes to. We see this new group come into the picture. It wasn't Roxxon, was it? Was it Roxxon?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, part of me was like, where the fuck did I get Roxxon? Okay, so it was Roxxon. So we see Roxxon take Rhino, say, you know, we'll clean all this up. You guys did great. How did you feel when they wrote Peter off? You know, he was going out of town with MJ. How did you feel about them writing Peter off? And did you think it was dope, the whole Spider-Man oath that he made up on the spot?
Yeah, I thought the oath was pretty cool. Hopefully that will stick throughout the ages, because and maybe update a little bit throughout each Spider-Man game if they do more than three Spider-Man games. I hope
it's passed down differently. So I hope when Miles,
100%.
When Miles tells Spider-Gwen or when Miles tells Silk, I hope his version of that is a little different. Mm-hmm. By the way, if any Spider-Man is supposed to come after Miles, it should be Silk. Mainly because you can make Silk a little younger than Miles and have him kind of be like her mentor. But Spider-Gwen should always be like an equal of Peter. Mainly because I think they should be around the same age.
You mean Miles?
No. I think Spider-Gwen should be around. See, the problem is Spider-Gwen in Into the Spider-Verse was made for Miles.
For Miles, yeah.
Like, that's not Spider-Gwen from the comics. Spider-Gwen from the comics was made not for Peter, but I'm saying around Peter. So the movie changed it to fit Miles, which I have no issue with. I have no issue with. But to me, Miles should be, like, his equal should be Silk. And Peter's equal should be Spider-Gwen. I would love for when Miles is teaching Silk, like, he's like, Peter told me, like, this oath, and I want you to take it, but he's like, shit, how does it go again? And like, he's now making it up on the spot, quite like Peter did. But I thought the oath was great. I thought the oath was really good. But how did you feel about them writing Peter off for this story?
I thought it was well done. How can I say this? The way they just took them, just wrote them off, I thought was well done, like I said. And just to give, like you were talking about earlier, just to let Miles flex his muscle a little bit, just to see if he can earn that reputation of Spider-Man, earn that title as Spider-Man. Make him believe in himself as Spider-Man, much as Peter Parker believes that Miles can be as great or even greater than himself. So it was a great confidence booster for Miles as a character for Peter to leave.
It
is mentioned that they were training with each other for like the past year,
right,
or a little bit under a year. So to see him like finally be on his own, even though he still doesn't know what he's doing by himself, it's like a parent just letting their child go free just to experience the world. And it just reminded me a little bit of that. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of was writing him off was necessary. It's like when Dick Grayson became Nightwing, they moved him to Bloodhaven. Why? Because if he stays in Gotham, he's overshadowed by Bruce. So you got to do something to allow him, so they allow the legend of Nightwing to grow. How do you do that? Move him to Bloodhaven, have him become a legend out there, have him become a legend, period. So when he moves back to Gotham, people don't only fear Batman, they now fear Nightwing. So it allows Miles to do that. And it gives him a chance to where people, you know, we'll get to this, but the nickname people were kind of giving him and the status that he has within his borough. But you know what stood out to me the most in the beginning, AJ? That kind of pissed me off a little bit, just a little bit. How trash that present was that Peter left for Miles. And the only reason why I say how trash is, Peter has come a long way from his first suit, right? So it's like, all right, Peter made himself a dope-ass suit. Why was his suit that he made for Miles so trash?
Are you asking me? Or is
why was it so trash?
Well, he has to learn how to use the suit. He has to. Spider-Man can't just give him everything just on the spot. That's boring storytelling. Hey, I'm gonna give you the most advanced suit in the world. Here you go. No, that makes zero sense to me. So the give him a suit that can eventually evolve into something even better, I thought it was pretty cool. So that's just me.
Man, Miles said, if you'll get this, once him and his friend figured out how to do it on their own, they said, if you'll get this hot garbage the hell up out of here, we about to make our own shit. But anyway, so we see Peter head out of town to go on a mission with MJ. And we see Miles head back home. It was fun seeing Miles in a new city. Obviously, he said he moved since the passing of his father. His mom is now a political figure for New York, or specifically that borough. It was really interesting to see. And the biggest thing that stood out was, I always thought it was unique how John Watts took Miles' best friend and made him Peter's best friend in the MCU. So we get to now see Ned Leeds from the MCU that they took from Miles come back to the world of Miles. And how did you like the dynamic of that friendship, AJ? Was it kind of weird, like after these last, 4 or 5 years, seeing Peter with Ned and now seeing Ned kind of come back to where he belongs, which is with Miles?
Not at all. You could still do Genki as a separate character from Ned. They'll still both be Asian. But other than that, I don't really care. But overall, I thought their relationship together, Miles and Genki's relationship together, I thought was really well done. I thought Genki as a support for Miles was really well done. When Miles was just broken and heartbroken because of spoilers we're going to talk about later. just to see him help his best friend through that hard time, I thought was really well done. And then him as the tech guy, I thought was pretty cool. The one of many things that were a negative to me in the MCU Spider-Man is Ned is, he's a good friend of Peter, but the way, I wish they could do a lot more with Ned in the MCU Spider-Man, if that makes sense. They're the same character, but I felt like Genki did a lot more in Miles' character than in Spider-Man MCU for Peter's character.
Well, I think you have more to go off of because he's a Miles character. So you have all those years to kind of build with. But when you change it, it's now, because remember, the whole thing about Peter was, it was just Peter. Like, there was never like, oh, Peter had like Harry that was always like by his side and would always help him be Spider-Man. Like, no, what made Peter Parker special was that this kid legit did all this shit by himself. So when you do the MCU and you now make him drastically younger, a little younger than what the Ultimates had him as, and you now bring in this friend that knows he's Spider-Man, is supposed to be, like Ned said, the guy in the chair, it's now a different dynamic. And on top of that, AJ, you also have the mentorship of Stark. So you now have to balance Peter trying to like live up to Stark, also trying to be a really good friend to Ned, also trying to explore his love for MJ. So it's like you're adding all these different dynamics that the character never really had to go through in the history of the character. So I think you kind of just somewhat a little bit made it to where it's like, well, obviously characters like Ned and MJ are going to have somewhat of a deteriorated presence, because you still have to make it to where Peter is doing a lot of this stuff for himself. That's what made that scene where in the first one, where the building collapsed on him, and it's like, there is no one to help you. You have to do this yourself, Peter. And it's like John Watts is going to have to find a way, especially in this last one, to kind of piggyback off of that, to where you're kind of going back to the drawing board of it's just Peter. But yeah, I don't disagree with you. It's hard to kind of give these secondary characters that you don't have powers or you don't really have anything really you can really bring to this. It's really hard to give them stuff to do. So yeah, I completely agree with you. The game was able to flesh out Ned a lot better than the MCU did. But obviously we see that Ned has spent the night over Miles' house. They're getting ready for, what is it, a Christmas dinner? Or it's a Christmas dinner, right? Or am I tripping?
It's a Christmas dinner, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm like, is it Christmas? Okay. And Miles' mom is telling Miles that they're expecting a guest. We hear the doorbell ring. Miles' mom alludes to the fact that doorbell has never worked. And it's an old friend of Miles. How did you feel about this old friend coming back in Miles' life?
I thought it was pretty cute. I love Finn. I thought Finn and Miles' chemistry together was pretty awesome. Just like old friends, just rehashing it up with each other. I thought that was pretty cool. And are we speaking spoilers now, or are we just going to take it?
No, like, we're literally going right to where you want to go, like right after we finish this.
Okay. Well, for me, I saw this what would you call it? Anyway, I saw that, I knew that Finn was going to be the Tinkerer. What as soon as I saw her open that door, I was like, okay, she's the Tinkerer. Miles hasn't seen her in a long time, they're best friends. Right, it makes sense.
Usually shit like that goes way over my head, right? I didn't know it then. I knew it, and this is gonna sound so weird and so fake, AJ, but I...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I swear to you, I knew it when she fixed the doorbell. And it was just like, she's advanced. Like, I couldn't go to your house right now, AJ, and go, oh, your light's broken? I'll fix it. And, like, I'd end up starting, like, a fire, you know? So I'm like, when she did that, I'm like, all right, she's a little advanced. Okay. And then the more they
were. To be fair, most of Miles' friends can just fix the doorbell if they wanted to. Miles could fix it if he wanted to. Genki can fix it if he wanted to.
The idea that they hadn't, though, is what stood out. But to me, the more that him and Finn were catching up to where it was just like, okay, all right. And you know, the biggest thing is when she wouldn't talk to him about what happened with her brother. I was just like, I originally was like, is it the brother? And then I was like, no, this has to be more intricate than that. It has to be Finn. But before we get there, I will say this game did a great job cultivating the love hate that Finn and Miles grew throughout this story. It was way more developed than what they're giving us between Peter and MJ in the MCU. It had a lot more history to it. It honestly, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the actual story of Peter and MJ. They grew up together. It was never a thing of like, oh, we were dating. They were just really good friends, and Peter grew a love for MJ through that. And that's what I thought they were building with Finn and Miles. They legit did everything right in Finn and Miles that we should have gotten from Peter and MJ. But John Watts and Feige decided to go this weird ass angle for Peter and MJ. But anyway, so we obviously get there's a street fair. Everyone's celebrating. Miles' mom is making this big speech about how things should be different within the city. And we see an attack. We see an attack by what did Tinkerer call her cronies? I forgot what they called them. AJ?
I don't remember what they were either. I
don't remember what they were called. But anyway, we see them attack, and their whole plan is to kind of cause a little bit of
anger. Oh. Was it the underground?
The underground. There you go. The underground. Attacked the little parade that they were having. But their goal was to take whatever that. What was it that they were trying to? They were trying to capture from. What was the corporation that I said at the beginning? I completely forgot.
Roxxon.
They were taking this element from Roxxon. Do you remember what the element was?
No.
But anyway, that's not the point. The biggest point is we see Miles suit up, make sure Ned gets his mom out safe. He suits up, takes on these intruders on the bridge. We see an all-out battle. Miles' Venom Punch kind of sparks this eruption that blows up the bridge, causing mass destruction. We see the same Spider-Man move that they have found a way to incorporate in every fucking Spider-Man movie since Spider-Man 2, which is I'm extending my webs to pull something closer. But the big shock of this is we find out that the Tinkerer, who almost got Miles' mom killed, is causing all this destruction, is none other than Finn. Obviously, Finn in that moment doesn't know that Miles is Spider-Man, but at that moment, Miles finds out that Finn is the Tinkerer. I'll say what stood out to me the most about that that whole sequence, AJ, is the fact that I thought they found a way to touch a little bit on what's going on today when we see the Roxxon, I guess you call them security, draw their guns on Miles. And he's like, yo, what did I do? And it takes him going invisible to escape out of that situation. But I thought that was the realest part of that whole scene. But kind of walk me through your thoughts, AJ, on seeing that scene play out and then seeing the big reveal of Finn being who we will know as we go on to be the main antagonist, or one of the main antagonists for the rest of this game.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That whole invisible scene where the Roxxon security guards were pointing their guns at Miles, even though he did nothing wrong, and they actually did technically, but he saved all those people. But regardless of that, they still treat him as a threat. And just to see that, it does speak on real life in a real world. And I'll go one up further. It's not the realest scene in that specific moment, but I think that's one of the most powerful scenes in that entire game. Just to see that moment, because we all know, we all feel like we wish we were invisible when it comes to cops, much like, or not even invisible, what should I say? I'm trying to keep this as...
Yeah, no. You can go right into, you know, because obviously we're not here to go uber political, but I agree. Mm-hmm. It was very important to showcase that. Very, very, very important to showcase that. But it was small but very significant. But I want you to go more into, because you were saying you saw it coming, more into the battle. And AJ, I know how much you love aesthetics. How much did you love the design of what they were able to do with Finn's Tinkerer and the Underground? Like how developed they were technologically.
I love the neon tech of what the Tinkerer did with the technology. I thought that was pretty cool. I wish we can get in depth with technology and just the mythology with Spider-Man and his story as much as this game with the movies, but we can't even get that. And for me, I'm all for the world building. Everybody knows that about me. And I think the one thing that Spider-Man in the movies lacked is that level further into the world building for Spider-Man himself, but not the MCU as a whole. I just want more Spider-Man stuff.
Unfortunately, that's always going to be an issue until the day that either Sony says we got it on our own and they're able to flesh out Spider-Man because their focus is only Spider-Man. Or that will happen the day that Feige and Marvel are able to acquire fully the rights to Spider-Man, and we can really see that world grow and develop. Like we've seen with the MCU, we have so many different trees that have extended to branches that have their own shows and their own spinoffs and their own movies and stuff like that from the MCU. So we know Feige can develop. It's just the idea that he can only develop what's his. So that's why I said, if you're Sony, the idea of trying to take Peter back has already passed, you know, has already passed for you. The fact that you've let the MCU build three movies, they've developed who that character is. So you should go out, you know, give us Miles, and you're able to build so much. Like I said, Silk can come from Miles' world, and now you're building off Silk. You know, and if you want, I don't care. Spider-Gwen can come from Miles' world. And now you're building off Spider-Gwen. So you can really develop and you can really go big with it. If you just, because you need a Spider-Man you gave birth to that you can really develop from the ground up. And that's Miles if you're Sony.
The thing is with Sony, I don't really care for their live action. If anything, just stick with animation. what they're doing with the Into the Spider-Verse universe. God, what the hell was that? Anyway, what they're doing with Spider-Verse.
Right.
I think it's perfect. The world building is perfect in that movie, and they're expanding on it. Even with the
what's confusing is so you know how the story's always been DC does animated movies better than Marvel does.
I know that, but I can't agree with that. But
okay, yeah, I was about to say, I don't believe that. I just believe their focus is different. So DC has had like a very rocky live action. Like it's really hit or miss. Obviously, a lot of people would say it's gotten better. I'm not here to argue that. But I would say Marvel's focus was never their animated movies. It was the live action. So you got the best you could possibly get because that was their focus. I think if you're Sony, the fact that you did a award-winning animated movie, right, means you have the ability to expand that to live action. You just have to be able to put people in the right positions and then get the fuck out of the way, you know? And that's why Into the Spider-Verse was as great as it was. You just allowed them to do what they wanted and create the best possible content. Venom was, I will say this to the day I die, Venom was not a bad movie. The only reason Venom couldn't be its best possible self is that Venom shouldn't exist without Spider-Man. It shouldn't exist without Spider-Man. It's the stupidest logic you could ever have. That was their, but you handicapped yourself when you were like, oh, no, we're going to create the whole idea that the symbiote that completely built itself off of Spider-Man is going to exist without him. That's when you handicap yourself, and now you're trying to sell a movie to fans, diehard Spider-Man fans at that, that we can make this work without Spider-Man, albeit it was not a failure. But could it have been a billion times better if it stuck to the proper mythology? 100%. So to me, it's like you have the components to do it. If Morbius is just like Venom, and it's one of those, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great, I'll completely agree with you, AJ. Maybe animation is where they should stay. But to me, Venom 2 has a potential to drastically upgrade from the first Venom. And Morbius from the trailers looks really good. So I'm like, they will lose me if Venom 2 is on par with Venom 1 and Morbius is on par with those. Then I can safely say, you know what? You don't know how to do this. But I will reserve that. But I will say that Into the Spider-Verse was a huge, huge momentum builder if you're Sony. And that's why I'm saying don't stop. Keep your foot on their necks. Give us that Silk spinoff you were talking. Give us that all-female Into the Spider-Verse you were talking. Give us a Spider-Gwen solo. Like, really go all out and allow these people to do what they need and want to do to make these movies a success. And stay out of the way, Sony. You know,
the more the better.
The more the better, AJ. I'll never argue with that. And you have a lot. You built a really big tree. Now you got so many different branches to pick off of. So allow yourself to continue to grow and build off of that. But yeah, the aesthetics of the Underground and the Tinkerer, beautiful, great. I like their power source. I like the fact that they can build their own goddamn shields and weapons from within that mech kind of suit. Finn is really intelligent. And can I say this? We need to create more extremely intelligent female characters. It was so refreshing for a male story to have a female character that is that much smarter, faster, stronger. I love that. We need that a million times more. Another reason, AJ, I love Into the Spider-Verse, you making Doc Ock female originally sounds like something that's like, what? That sounds... But the movie made it work so well. I need more of that. Shit, I mean, if you tell me right now you want to make most of Miles' villains female, I'm telling you, do it. If they're as good as they handled Finn, do it. That was really, really, really something that I loved about what they did with Finn. Now, something I want to go to, AJ, that I was glad they got out of the way early. I didn't need them to kind of drag on with this. I loved how we see Ned kind of talk Peter into this. Not Peter, I'm sorry. See, goddamn it, MCU. We see Ned kind of talk Miles into, you keep saying the other, you know, I'm the, you know, the other guy. It's like, no, like that Spider-Man's gone. You're Spider-Man, bro. Like, you are the guy. Like, get that juice and work with it. So we see them redesign Miles' costume to the more accurate Miles costume we know it to be. Cut me off, AJ, if I'm skipping over a story that you thought was important that maybe I skipped over by accident. But I love that we see Miles' first side mission in his new suit is helping out at a subway station where we find our Prowler. And what I loved about it, AJ, and I want to get your thoughts here, is I loved how immediately his uncle was like, all right, thank you, Miles. And he's like, wait, what? And he's like, I knew it was you. Like, come on, man, relax. It's you. I won't tell your mom. It's cool. Call me if you ever need me. I love that we got that out of the way early. It wasn't a storyline that they were going to drag on of, is he going to find out? You know, I'm glad that was just over with. How did you like Ned's pep talk to Miles to kind of inspire him and obviously give us that new suit? And how did you like the entrance of the Prowler and their ability to kind of squash that whole secrecy between the two of them early on? So it wasn't like a lingering thing of like, when are they going to find out who each other are? Like, they squashed that immediately.
Well, there's just one issue I had. Well, that whole thing you were talking about, I agree with. But there's one issue I had that bothered me a little was, how did his mother Rio not know that Miles was Spider-Man? If was it Aaron Davis knew on the spot, basically.
I think the thing was his mother was so busy with her political world. There weren't.
Yeah, but even if that's his mother, she should even in the comics, her mother always knew that Miles was Spider-Man the whole time and just didn't say anything, really. So to me, it makes no sense. Even if she was busy, all mothers that are good mothers know their children. And they will just put them first anyway. So that was just a little nitpick I had with that. But overall, I thought that the reason how Aaron knew that Miles is Spider-Man, I thought that was pretty cool. Just the way you move and juke, I thought that was amazing. And you can just tell that Aaron is very observant, and it makes sense that he's the Prowler. So I really like that. What was the other question again?
How did you like, I could be a little ahead of myself, but I do believe after the event on the bridge where Miles kind of felt like it was all his fault was when Ned had that big talk with him, like, dude, like, you're Spider-Man now, like, you got to get over that, like, pick yourself up, you know, let's do what we got to do. Was that pep talk what inspired them to make the new suit, or did that come later on?
No, it was a pep talk that inspired the new suit. It for that, it was Miles' new beginning, if you want to put it in a good way. Just to see that level of confidence he exerts after he puts on the new suit, I thought it was pretty cool. Much like an Into Spider-Verse, once he gets the new suit, you just see that confidence in him.
I will say, AJ, I don't usually get chills over anything. I'd probably say in my 27 years of life, the only thing that ever gave me chills was seeing Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, like once he was a comic accurate Iron Man, right? Like once he had the red and yellow or the red and whatever it was. Once you saw him for the first time in that, I got chills. Robert Pattinson's Batman trailer gave me chills. And Into the Spider-Verse, when that song starts and you see Miles like curled up in a ball sitting on that building, when he jumps off, that always, it still gives me chills to this day.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the greatest coming out story or coming of story ever. Like live action or animation in the superhero. Like a character really becoming their own. That will forever give me chills because it was done so well. But huge shouts out to Jaden Smith, who's the lead soundtrack for this game. Mm-hmm. That song really brought out the scene kind of feeling that the movie did. Not as good, but obviously the best. Miles is literally, and I said this, Miles is literally the heartbeat of Marvel. It's like their darling. Everyone always says it's Peter Spider-Man. I get it, but the newer generation, definitely Miles. The most sympathetic character, the most real character. Honestly, it's probably their biggest character that people relate to the most. It's why Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was such a success. And someone that people can relate to. But yeah, I love seeing them work together on that new suit. I love the new suit. Not as cool as Into the Spider-Verse suit was, but it was really, really, really cool. But obviously, AJ, we see Miles and Ned hatch this kind of, you know, sneak into the underground and kind of try to like infiltrate their way into it. See Uncle Aaron kind of give Miles his advice. We're gonna fast forward here because we're not gonna go through every intricacy of this damn game. But walk me through. Obviously, we see the Tinkerer take on Spider-Man one more time, and Miles make it known, like, you know, he took off his mask and is like, "I'm Miles." She was very taken aback by that. Like, what the what? I thought we said no more lies. And it's like, bro, you are the Tinkerer and didn't tell me. Like, you almost got my mom killed. But obviously we see that, you know, we now see that Mexican standoff of like, oh my God, you're Spider-Man and you're the Tinkerer. It's like, oh my God. Obviously we see the Prowler suit back up, you know, after finding out that his nephew is Spider-Man, to kind of try to protect him with how cutthroat this city can be. Obviously we see Prowler strike a deal, you know, to give up the Tinkerer, but to keep his nephew safe. We see Rhino gets a new upgrade. Your thoughts, AJ? Hello?
Yeah, it cut off.
Oh, can you hear me?
Hold yeah.
On. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Obviously, we see the Tinkerer now finds out that Miles is Spider-Man. We see that dynamic, but I want to fast forward here towards the end. How did you feel about Rhino's new upgrade that he got? I thought that was pretty dope.
It was just red armor.
No, but I thought that he said they gave him like an upgrade. Venom Punch didn't work.
Yeah, that was the only thing. I guess that was cool. I already knew that Rhino was gonna come back and be invulnerable to the Venom Punch, so it wasn't that shocking to me. No pun intended. So
I take a little pun there. So obviously we get the big showdown of the Tinkerer looking to take down Roxxon by any means necessary. Obviously Miles looking to stop her by any means necessary, but still help. The biggest thing we left off was Roxxon was responsible for the death of Finn's brother. It was kind of reminiscent to, I don't know if you've seen this, AJ, so I don't want to go too much into it and spoil it, but it was kind of like the storyline from the Avengers video game. How her brother died was eerily similar to another character that they showed in that Avengers game. I thought that was a little...
You can spoil it.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a scene where in the beginning of that Avengers game, like this huge material was like letting off all this energy, and Cap was in like this room trying to stop it. And the video looked like the scientist locked Cap in there and Cap just obliterated, right? And in this, it was literally the same thing that happened to Finn's brother. Obviously, that's not what happened to Cap. He ended up not dying. Spoiler alert for anyone out there. But it was eerily similar. And I was like, oh, shit, this reminded me of that. But yeah, so that's Finn's motivation to why Finn wants to take down Roxxon. But we get to the end. Miles is in now like a standoff against Finn, and it's like all out battle to save New York. How did you like that ending? I cried, AJ. I'm a crier. I did too.
That teared me up a lot.
So walk me through the ending, AJ.
I'm not gonna lie, that broke me. Just seeing Finn and Miles fight it out, and Miles just trying to stop Finn, trying to tell her that the entire, what was it? What city are they in right now at this point?
I don't remember specifically. We are horrible at this.
I have terrible memory. But anyway, they were Miles was trying to stop her from leveling the city, basically, even though she just thought that it was just going to destroy that one tower. So just to see that back and forth confrontation, I thought was really great. And then the moment when she realized that everything was going to get destroyed, she just switched, and just seeing Miles there on his back trying to get to the machine and suck up all the energy, I thought that was really strong. And then you just see Finn look at Miles's mom and the whole group that was there, and then look back at Miles, then run straight towards Miles to save everybody in the city. I thought that was great. And when that moment when she says, let go, I broke down. It was greatness.
This is a bed that I made. Like, I made this mistake. Let me fall on this earth. So her kind of saving Miles and
was it? I think it was Harlem. Sorry, it was Harlem.
That makes sense. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. The idea that she was kind of like, you know, this is my sacrifice, you know, like if this is what it takes, this is what it takes. Like, I let revenge warp me so much that I put all these people's lives at risk. And that was very emotional, bro. I don't remember. Probably when Peter told Stark, I don't feel too good, is probably the only ever time I cried like a superhero movie. That was sad. This was sadder than that, bro. This is way sadder. But this broke me too, bro. But obviously, we see her make the ultimate sacrifice. It's a superhero world, so if you don't see a body, you have no idea if that person's dead. So who knows if we will ever see Finn again. Hopefully we do. I loved Finn. But we see Miles drop down to the ground. His mother, terrified that he's dead. We see the whole city, the town. See that Miles is Spider-Man. They protect him from the media while his mom gives him his mask back. And that's the end of our story. And we see that the city now knows, or I keep saying, I guess the borough now knows that Miles is Spider-Man. We even see a mural redone to where it fits Miles alongside of Peter Spider-Man. And I love how, like, Peter comes back, like, after all that chaos, and he's like, so how did everything go? And Miles is like, oh, you do not even know. Like, and Peter's like, you know what? Don't even sweat it, Miles. Like, last game, I almost let the city die. You know, it's cool. It'll happen. So how did you like the ending of this game where you see the city kind of embrace their new Spider-Man along with Peter kind of coming back, like, what the hell happened when I was gone?
Yeah, I thought that moment as a whole was cool. Seeing Miles look at himself on a mural, I thought that was pretty cool.
Right.
It went back to the beginning of the game where he asks the guy, are you going to put up the new guy? And he was like, maybe, we'll think about it. So I thought it was a cool nod to that.
Right.
But seeing Peter back, and I thought that was hopefully in Spider-Man 2. I want them two to work together a lot more, since we know that Miles can do a lot by himself and Peter can do a lot by himself as well. So I'm just curious how they're going to work out Spider-Man 2 as a whole. Maybe they'll keep one of them out. Maybe. I'm not sure.
I'll tell you this. This is what I would prefer. You let Spider-Man 2 be its, you know, be its thing. You know, you want to bring Miles in, you know, the same way you kind of did in the first game. Whatever. No, it doesn't matter. But let Spider-Man 2 be its own thing. Let Miles have his follow-up game, you know, where that's kind of its own thing. And then what you do is you come out with a co-op open-world Spider-Man game where you could play with a friend. And you guys can play as both Peter and Miles. And the storyline is shared. So it's not just like, oh, you can either play as Miles or you can play as Peter. No, it's shared. It's like a kind of like a co-op. It's one big storyline where the both of them have to save all of New York from the Sinister Six. Have that be the storyline. Or if you want
to... Well, they already did the Sinister Six.
I was just about to say, if you want to go differently than that, AJ, have it be either A... you know, introduce the multiverse, and that's the storyline. Or, depending on what they do with this next Spider-Man, I don't know if this next Spider-Man is going to be the focus of Green Goblin or Venom. If it's Venom, then cool. If it's Green Goblin, cool. Who knows? Obviously,
I think it might do Green Goblin or Hobgoblin, whichever Harry is.
No, Harry's Venom. That's he's in a symbiote in that class.
Is he? Did they show that?
Yeah, he's in the symbiote in that glass. They showed it in the first game. He's in the symbiote in that glass.
It's been a minute. Okay.
So they're going... That does not mean that Harry... I mean, obviously, it's going to pay off in that second game because it was introduced at the end of the first Spider-Man game and then reintroduced at the end of this Spider-Man game. So obviously, it's going to be a big storyline going forward. It'll just be interesting to see how it pays off. But... yeah, I mean, I think you should do that. Let the second game be its own for Peter. Let the second game be its own for Miles. And then bring them together for one big story. You know, have it be a joint game. But I loved it. I love the end credit scene. You saw the end credit scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the end credit scene Harry Osborn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job with that. Overall, I thought this was a great story. I thought it was really, really, really good. I hope they implement some of these characters into a Miles live action movie whenever we get that. This is a really good start for Miles. This is a really great way to kick off the PS5. I can't wait to see what more they do with these Spider-Man characters going forward. I personally loved it. AJ, your closing statements.
What more can I say? I love this with a passion. Hopefully, like you said, they'll expand more on Miles and his universe and his lore, world building, all of that. Hopefully they'll bring Peter Parker into the fold a lot more for the next game. Maybe they'll have Venom. So actually the second game will be like a co-op, like you were saying, but it will focus on Venom. So I think that's pretty cool. So overall, I love this, and I cannot wait to play it in like 4 months.
Yeah, definitely let all these bugs get out, let it get a little cheaper, and then definitely go all in for it. But yeah, we both love this game. We recommend it. Play it or watch the cutscenes. Either way, you will definitely enjoy this game. AJ, it's been great breaking down Miles Morales for the PS5 with you. This is one of many podcasts we will be putting out this week. So thank you guys for listening, and make sure you check out the Miles Morales game for the PS5. Whether you're playing it or watching the cutscenes like we did, either way, I promise you, you will love this story as much as we did. But till then, peace. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.